Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Very happy Wednesday to you all. What are you leaning in to say? You want to get started?
That was a crazy experience trying to park down there, man.
I wish I could articulate it to the listeners. Your driving is so peculiar to me. Scary is the word, but it's so peculiar. And I feel when we can't find a parking spot that your level of stress goes higher than it needs to be. I don't know why we don't just drive around until we find a spot. Oh my goodness, you get stressed out.
Yeah.
Why?
It drives me absolutely insane that you would have to fight for 15 minutes to find a parking spot. It just doesn't make any sense.
But that just seems like downtown driving to me. I don't like coming downtown for that very reason. I usually take an Uber if I come down because it pencils out. By the time you pay for parking, or let's say we're in the studio for a while, because what do we get in Oregon? We get a maximum of 2 hours on those meters, so then we got to run back down and pay it and hope you don't get a ticket in the meantime. It's like, look, at the end of the day, I'd rather just pay the $25 and have an Uber come. Because what do we get hit with for a ticket, Joel? Wasn't it $92 because we left it too long?
I think it was 63 bucks.
It's like at the end of the day, I mean, to my point, you get away with Uber, they drop you right off, and we deal with so much rain out here in Oregon. You know, we're once we park, then we're running to try to beat the rain so we're not soaking wet for the whole day.
I feel like...
But I don't understand why you get stressed. It's like, isn't that just the deal?
I feel like I wake up in the morning and I'm a fresh pot of coffee, but the on switch isn't on. And then something happens and somebody puts the on switch on. And you can get the coffee on, but if you don't get that pot off, it's going to turn hot. And so as soon as we get down here, the button goes on. Now I start circling the streets and finding parking spots that says you can park here. Then you put your card in and you figure out, no, you can't park here, or you can only park here for 30 minutes. It's like, whoa.
May I give you a suggestion?
Tell me.
Don't make up metaphors. Steal a metaphor. Steal a metaphor that's already out there. So there's a pot of coffee.
Oh, okay. So now you, who's been stealing my original metaphors for 15 years, you're going to give me some advice to not steal metaphors.
I like most of your lines. I just got confused on that one. I think it just means, hey, you got all the ingredients, but you're not quite going. And I do understand that about mornings myself. I'm also not a morning guy. I just think that when we come downtown, and for anybody else that goes downtown, the deal is it's going to be hard to find a spot to park. So when you come downtown and that arrangement with the city is fulfilled and it's hard to find a place to park, I don't think you can start, you know.
It just happened.
Yelling and
I didn't yell.
I think you just got to kind of calm down.
I didn't freak out, but I was hot.
And the other thing that we don't like to do is we don't like to go into the underground parking garages, and we don't like to find the lots because the lots are tough. It's got like this weird credit card system. So we like to do street parking, I guess is my point. We like to find street parking. So of the three options we have, the underground parking, the parking lots that they provide for us, and the street parking, we instantly give ourselves a third of a chance to find a spot, which I think we need to acknowledge going in and just know this is the deal. It might take us a little longer, but eventually we'll find a spot. And we always do. When have we ever not found a spot?
Well,
come on. You got to relax.
Here's the difference. And I do like how you are. You maintain super, super relaxed. But see, you can also be 10, 15 minutes late every single day and it won't affect you a bit. You're just cool as a breeze. Being late drives me insane on both sides of it. To be late to something...
Or when somebody else is late to
or
you.
Or when somebody else
it's
is
annoying.
Late. It drives me nuts. I wish it didn't.
And you're wrong. It does bother me. I acknowledge time. I hate when people are late, but I would rather they're late than me. It embarrasses me. So you're wrong. It does bug me. However, I do know we can't get out of the car until we park the car. So it is one thing at a time. And some days there's better days for parking than there's others. But to watch you get so frustrated, you know, it's a weird thing when you get worked up because you're a big guy. That's the thing I feel like you never know. It's a scary, intimidating thing when a big guy
loses his lid,
and sometimes I just want to go, Joel, let's pick our battles here. There are some walks of life that we can get mad about, but I don't know that being safe in a vehicle with a heater and a radio. I mean, I just don't know that we're gonna have to circle the block a few times. That's just the deal.
Well, that's what happened.
So at any rate, there's our day, and we appreciate you all for listening. And until next time. You know what? Before we wrap the show, how about we actually do a show? Guys, go to BetDSI.com right now. If there's anything you want to place a bet on, any major world or sporting event, they used to have odds on the presidential election. It doesn't have to be sports. These guys are taking business on everything at BetDSI.com. 24/7, 365. Customer service. These guys have built a reputation over 20 years, and people know when they want to get paid fast and easy on their winnings, BetDSI is the place to go. They score an A+ on many sports review sites. Right now, for my listeners only, you will not get this deal anywhere else. They will give you a 200% bonus on whatever your first deposit is. All you have to do is sign up at BetDSI.com and enter the promo code CHAIL200. You pick the amount, it will give you a 200% bonus. I'll use simple math here. If you put up $500, when you use the promo code CHAIL200, when you check out, you're going to have $1,500 on your account. They are going to give you a 200% bonus at BetDSI.com for using the promo code CHAIL200.
Hey everyone, it's Sean Wheelock. On Sean Funky and the Baddest Man, Podcast One's newest MMA show, Ben Askren and Joe Warren take down Conor McGregor, George St. Pierre, Gabby Garcia, Frank Shamrock, Douglas Lima, and it's only our first show. Download new episodes of Sean Funky and the Baddest Man this and every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on iTunes.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
So we got a caller. Mike Perry's calling in.
Mike Perry is calling in.
And he goes by Platinum. Platinum Perry.
He goes by Platinum. And Platinum is a world, I believe. The Platinum, Platinum's a world. He has created a world, and it's a Platinum world.
What do you mean by that? Is that like the Hulkamaniacs or the Mayhem Monkeys? You mean his band is called the Platinums?
I believe it's a metaphor for, you know, love.
Hey, man,
real
serious right now. You have blood running down your face.
Again.
Yeah, what is that from?
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth or your nose? Something is,
I don't know.
Oh, you got that lip. What is happening there? Why does that lip keep bleeding?
I don't know.
From practice or something?
It seems to be.
Okay, I've asked you about this a few times, and you've always gotten off. Did someone crack you or said? Do you have something with your lip that you don't want to tell me? Did you get in a dust up? Why won't you tell me why that damn lip is bleeding?
I don't know. It keeps cutting in the same spot, and then it bleeds.
But it's still peculiar that I'm face to face with a guy that's got blood running down his face, and when I bring it up for the second time, because this happened once before on the air, remember? And you just get off the topic almost like it's a normal thing. Do you have anything you want to share? Is there a story behind the bleeding lip?
I have no idea why my lip continues to crack in the same spot and then start bleeding.
All right. We'll go back to, I think you have a story that you don't want to. Someday you'll tell me. You'll tell me when you're ready.
Wait, am I getting bullied by somebody?
I don't know. It almost makes you embarrassed when I bring it up. It's like, hey, you haven't done anything wrong, but you have blood coming in. What am I not supposed to say? You have blood coming down your face? Then you're going to see it later in the mirror dried and go, hey, why didn't you tell me you have blood in your face? I mean, I'm cutting this. That you're like, shoot the messenger, though.
I'm in an abusive relationship that you don't know about. Yeah. She knocks me around.
That's kind of how I feel. Like there's something bigger behind the story, and I can only imagine what it is that would make you uncomfortable. All right, let's go back to Mike Perry. So you're actually a Mike Perry mark. I got no problem with Mike Perry. I think he's a fun guy. He's obviously a tough guy. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him, but you are a Mike Perry mark. You enjoy what gives you a thrill? I know you like the way he fights, but you like his interviews. You get a kick out of the things he says. Yes?
They don't come along too often. A guy doesn't come along too often that is entertaining in this sport. The reason you were able to run up the mountain in 14 months, now again, you were that interesting well before anybody ever interviewed you or would go anywhere. And then you kind of caught fire and you ran with it. Well, one of the reasons you ran with it was there was nobody in that pool, and you even gave interviews about that. You even gave interviews about, you know, I looked at the landscape of this thing and everybody was a good guy and there wasn't a bad guy, so I just decided to take up all that space.
So how are you tying that to Perry? You find that Perry is going to be, you find him to be a great entertainer.
Yeah.
You found a diamond in the rough. You've discovered him before. I'm giving words, but am I close?
I believe so. Now, I don't know if he's going to get by Ellenberger, but I do know at 25 years old and the way he fights, I think he's going to be a star.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
It's cool to bring him on.
There's plenty of guys he won't get through, but one doesn't have anything to do with the other. If you still find a guy entertaining, then a guy's still entertaining. So, but he's a guy for you. Well, here he is right now. Jacob, can you connect him? Because, you know, a lot of people don't know who he is. He is still an up-and-comer, but he did catch my eye right away with his skills. He was fun to watch. You know, he had those heavy hands, kind of, you know, those Chris Lieben style hit you and knock. It looks like he's a trained boxer. I don't think Mike Perry is a trained boxer. I think he's just a guy that got really heavy hands. We're going to have to find out what his background is. But then he cuts those interviews, and it is hard to turn the TV off. There is something about when Mike Perry talks that make you go, okay, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I want to hear this guy.
Well, see, he caught my eye at the very first show, his very first event. You know, they had some interviews on, and I was like, whoa, this guy stole the show. And I caught, you know, it's only been, we're talking August of last year. So, hey, Mike, are you on, brother?
Yeah, I'm on, man.
Hey, thanks for coming.
My bad, I was late. I had to take my girl to the doctor. She wasn't feeling well this morning. Got a couple of ear infections and things, so I took care of that. It slipped my mind, but I appreciate you guys picking up when I called in.
Oh, we were actually late. I was trying to park in downtown Portland. It was a bit of an experience. So Mike was
road raging for no reason. He was road raging because he couldn't find a parking spot. I mean, it took him 5 minutes. I guess he thought he should pull up and just have like some red carpet rolled out in the city. But yeah, man, it's honor amongst thieves. We're all a little bit behind today.
That's all right, man.
Hey, so Mike, me and Chael were talking, and I caught you real quick in your UFC career. You know, you caught fire right away. This coming up is your sixth fight in the last 13 months. And your fourth fight in the last 7 months in the UFC. What is your background, brother? We know you like to march forward and throw bombs, but what is your background?
Fighting. Background of fighting and fighting. I fight in the street. I fight wherever I gotta fight. I fight to survive out here sometimes, you know. But no, I boxed back in the day. I wrestled in high school up in Michigan, but I didn't really get to compete because of grades and things like that. But I was at practice every day, and I did some jiu-jitsu since I was young and the gi and stuff, and then just fighting in the street, man, just trying to fight people. I used to do backyard MMA fights after school.
How old were you then?
15, 14.
Okay, so you knew right away that you wanted to be a fighter in some, whether it was boxing or MMA, right away you were like, yeah, this fits for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked it. Nobody else picked it for me. It was my choice.
Hey, Mike, when you talk about being a background as a boxer, it makes me think. So we got this major talk going on, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. Can that be a contest? Is there any way that Conor, a guy who has never done professional boxing, can compete with a guy who's never lost at professional boxing?
Man, I don't know, because Conor has done things differently, or his way, or whatever, or maybe he was ready for everything that came his way. Maybe it was his time and he was ready for that. I'm trying to get ready for real big things to come my way, you know, you think a level of bigness or greatness, and then when you see it, you're like, oh, man, I got here really fast. I thought this was going to take me a lot longer, and this came really easily. So then you got to go above and beyond that. Like your boy was saying earlier, my first fight, that was huge. I've had people tell me that's going to be tough to top. But then Danny Roberts came along, and I put on a battle with that guy. So, you know, to me in this sport, that's what tops that is performances. But in that ring, at that distance, at that, you know, Floyd's ring is a little bigger than everybody else's because he uses that ring and he moves so well. And I go with a lot of high-level boxers. Some days I have real good days with them. Some days their ring control and their footwork is like, it's like, man, where am I today? You know what I mean? I can't keep up. So I don't know. Floyd has been uncontested when it comes to that footwork and those things. So who knows?
Hey, Mike, so your career is going real fast in the UFC. And like I said, it was only a year ago you were fighting, you know, on the way lower shows. How much change? What's the biggest change in your life right now? What's the biggest difference than from a year ago when you're fighting for, you know, not UFC?
I'm really comfortable. I'd have to say that's the biggest change. Is that I don't know. I'm learning to love this stuff again. You know what I mean? Like even Muhammad Ali is like, I hated every minute of training. And for a while, I was like, is that how it's supposed to be? Am I supposed to hate this stuff? And I did hate this stuff. But then I love performing and love putting on a show because it's a privilege to be able to go out there and do that. I work hard to be able to go out there and do that and not get made a fool of by this other world-class competitor that's standing across from me. I have to train hard, you know? So being comfortable now with having money to survive and live and take care of the things that I need to take care of have really made it more fun to train and be all I can be. You know what I'm saying,
Mike? I was checking out some of your fights, and I asked you this question, and you said it was more than once you fought somebody, and the contract was winner take all.
Yeah, that was more than one time. Because I was promoting these you know, non-UFC fights, these other organizations, and there's tons of them all over professional organizations, and they're struggling. And I guess I did well advertising or whatever, marketing. We sold some tickets. We sold some fights. People wanted to see me fight. And I was like, man, this is not enough money. This just isn't enough for what I'm working my ass off for. So that's when I started hating training. But then, you know, somebody might have actually suggested it to me once. He's like, put your money where your mouth is. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. Winner take all. And I tagged the promoter, let's do a new contract. That turned out to be for like $2,600 between his money and mine, his show and my show and win. That one, we didn't fight till like 1 in the morning. That was like my third MMA fight, third pro MMA fight. And then there was another one, me and this guy, and did it for like $5,000 winner take all, a couple fights after that.
Yeah, that's big money in the lower shows. I mean, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I know the guys out here struggling, and they do the same thing. You know, they work full-time jobs. They fight their ass off. They do the same thing that Chael does, same practice, everything. You know, and they're fighting for $5,500 or $1,000. But at least there's an opportunity. You know, before, you know, 10 years ago, there wasn't even an opportunity for that. Now, did you move from Flint, Michigan to work at the UFC gym? And is that where you train at? Or how did you end up out in, is it Orlando?
Yeah, well, I was born in Flint. And since, like, the second grade, I've come back and forth between my mom and dad, between Flint and Orlando or Apopka. And then once my pops moved out of Flint when I was, like, 17 or something. That was the last time I've been back in Flint when I was 17. So I'm 25 now. So it's been a long time since I've been back there. And I've been in Florida for a while. And I found a job at the UFC gym 3 years ago and never looked back.
All right, so you're still working full time at the UFC gym, and that's where you train out of?
Yeah, I train there, I teach there, and then guys that I train with would be, I train at American Top Team in Orlando with Paul Rodriguez and Julian Williams. Julian Williams has a sister school to a Top Team, which is called Fusion XL, and that's in Winter Garden. I get a lot of my work done with those guys over there doing jiu-jitsu and boxing, kickboxing. And then I have a boxing coach at the UFC gym that I work with. His name is Josue. And then my strength and conditioning coach, sometimes I go to his garage, or we ride our bike 60 miles around Apopka. His name is Mark Nicholson. That's Alex the Spartan Nicholson's father. You know, I do strength and conditioning. I got a squad of guys that I work out with, you know what I mean? So I do everything, everywhere.
All right, my last question, brother. I lived in Orlando for a year. Do you eat any alligator?
Do I eat alligator?
Yeah, because I remember going to a bar, a lot of different bars, and they had alligator. One time I ate it.
Hell yeah.
That's good. It tastes like bad chicken.
I'd say it tastes like good chicken.
That's a real thing, fellas?
That's good stuff.
I didn't know anybody ate alligator.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Everywhere
gator,
you go.
Gator tail. We eat the gator tail. Hey. I've seen some things on Facebook videos where they got them on a rotisserie. They might eat the whole gator.
I thought that was an expression, like buffalo, like a buffalo wing. I didn't know that was actually gator.
No, and you want to talk about, so Orlando's a nice, cool town. Nice, cool, modern, yeah. Hip. You go 25, 30 miles outside of Orlando, and you are in the country. Is that a good analogy, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. It can be that way. There's a lot of rednecks out here.
Mike.
Country folk.
Mike, we know you're busy training, man. Thank you for your time. Best of luck in your career. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, God bless you guys, man. Have a great one.
Appreciate you, pal. Hey, the one thing about Mike, he seems like a real guy. Kind of seems like just what you see is what you get there. I think from a marketing standpoint, that's the only way to go. Just go out there and be yourself. Turn it up. You have something to say, say it. It's very irritating to see guys, particularly the guys that want to be loved by everybody, that put on a fake nice guy hat. It's like, man, just be yourself, and then I'll let you know if you're a nice guy. I'll let you know if I like you. But even if I don't, that's okay too. But let me know you. Don't come on and put on any act for me. And I feel like he's just a guy that's real.
You make a good point about that, and I think maybe that's why I caught his attention right away.
He caught your attention?
Whatever, you know.
But I mean, that's why you liked him?
That's why I liked him, is because he was who, you know, I mean, he's a tough kid, and he likes to fight, and his personality is his personality. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's just a regular guy.
Yeah, I see that same thing. I enjoy that, too. I mean, I can't deny any of that. He is fighting your boy, though. I mean, you're pretty tight with Ellenberger. He's fighting your boy. That's coming up. That's got to be a weird spot for you to have. To have Perry on the show. I noticed we didn't ask him about Jake. I wasn't totally comfortable doing it, but I noticed you didn't do it too. That had to put you in a bit of a weird spot.
100%. And that's the first time in this that I got any skin in the game other than you. You know, we're not going to have your opponent on. But, yeah, Jake's a you know, a friend, a fan of the show. You know, and I thought about that. And I'm like, well, you know, I like this Perry guy, but I ain't rooting for him against Jake. But that doesn't... You know, that doesn't change the fact that I can root for him on his next fight.
It doesn't take anything away. You know, it's one of the things of this sport. I mean, it doesn't make you a bad guy to say, hey, it is what it is. You're a fan. But I think I get your point. I think I do see the appeal to Mike Perry. I mean, one is, yeah, he's a great fighter. Sure, he's a great fighter. He's signed. Yeah, of course he's a great fighter. But he does seem like a guy that comes on and just kind of tells you whatever's on his mind, and there's something fun about that. You guys really eat alligator? I really did not know that.
I ate one alligator one time.
And you did not like it?
No, I did not like it. But the place that I ate it at, they could have went and got the alligator in the back. I mean, there was a swamp in the back, and it wasn't the nicest place in the world.
I would try alligator. That doesn't gross me out in the least. That doesn't seem like I just didn't know that people did that. I didn't know they had a bunch of meat on them. I didn't know anything about that till you guys said it.
Yeah, man, it was 1,000 degrees the year I lived in I think I was there about 6 or 7 months. Miss H was doing a internship for the Orlando Magic, and I went out there and I hated it. Man, I hated it. It was 900 degrees. Like I say, it was a swamp. But I was broke too. So I think I would have hated anywhere being that broke.
Yeah, but is alligator cheap? I would think alligator must be expensive. Alligator boots are expensive. I would think eating an alligator would be, you'd have to be at a fine restaurant. You're telling me it's just the opposite, that you got to go find some hole in the wall and they're serving alligator they caught in the back.
All I can speak on is it was a hole in the wall where I ate the alligator at. And I was oiled up.
You ever had shark?
No.
What's oiled up mean? You're drunk?
Yeah, I was oiled up. I wasn't all the way.
But what's oiled up mean?
Yeah.
Drinking?
Yeah, drinking.
Is that a real expression or that's a Joel?
It might be a Joel.
I like it.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. Have you had shark?
I have not had shark.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
I'm going to say alligator. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Probably a chicken or a steak. I don't get into weird foods. I've never done that. Like, there's something called escargot, which means snail. I'm not eating that and people have tried to convince you that that's a delicacy or something. That's gross, man. That's gross. That's a weird thing. Caviar is another one, which is fish eggs, which doesn't strike me as overly gross. I eat chicken eggs and other kind of eggs. It doesn't strike me as overly gross. I just don't know why I'd want to eat it. People say it tastes really salty. So I've never really got into that weird stuff. I was in Istanbul one time. They served us something, and the gentleman said, everybody here has to try this, and then I'll tell you what it is. So I knew it was something weird. I didn't fall for that. That freaked me out. Other people tried it, and they said it was really good, and then he told us it was pig intestine. It looked like noodles. I'm out, and I'm glad I didn't try it, but I'm not into eating weird foods or gross things. Like, that doesn't... grossest thing I've ever, I guess, would be blue cheese. We don't think of blue cheese as gross in America. It's a very common thing. But if you learn what blue cheese is, I guess that's pretty gross.
Do you remember The Fear Factor with Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I hated it.
I hated it for that specific. I love the show. I love them competing in all those different challenges. I love Joe. I loved everything about it except the weird eating thing. And I never believed it. I never believed that people would...
That it was a shoot? Yeah.
Do you know anything about that? Was that real?
Yeah, that was a shoot. Yeah, they really did do that, and they even had, like, health concerns and stuff that they had to... I just thought that was weird. So they take, like, the world's grossest thing, and then who's willing to do it? And it's like, man, that's just bizarre to me. And that show did great. It did great numbers, which means people want to see that, but that's bizarre. That's really weird for me. You know, we talked about that the other day with... ECW, to tie that into that wrestling, that extreme wrestling where guys were wrapping barbed wire around baseball bats and then hitting another guy and the crowd's going crazy. It's like, first off, that's not real. So now you're talking about self-mutilation and you're cheering for that. You're cheering to see self-mutilation. You then have fans there that are chanting ECW. Do you remember this, what I'm even talking about?
I missed the ECW. I was never on board.
If you don't know, though. You'll get my point. So people, the whole arena is now chanting ECW, ECW. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You're a performer that's out there working your ass off. For whatever reason, you've agreed to take a baseball bat to the head that's wrapped in barbed wire because you got a bunch of crazy fans and this is what they want to see and you signed up for it. It's a tough road being in the UFC or Bellator. If I'm fighting in Bellator and I got an arena of people chanting Bellator, I failed at my job. I've never been anywhere where the crowd is there to see somebody perform and starts chanting the name of the company. Could you imagine the fans at a Patriots game going, NFL, NFL? Brady would, he'd be a failure. He couldn't steal their attention and make them cheer Brady, 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 or just, you know, hoop and holler on their own. It was just a weird thing. And when you bring up Fear Factor, I know I tied it back into ECW, but it's the same thing. It's like, not only do I not want to eat something that's gross, they're telling me this is disgusting. As a matter of fact, it's a dare that you even consume this. I don't understand the kind of people that want to do it. I don't, or that want to see somebody else do it. It's like, man, I can't relate to that at all. That's weird. It's a weird thing he's doing, and I don't want to watch him do something weird and gross.
I'll tell you what I do know about ECW. You, as crazy as this sounds, years ago, told me about YouTube. You're like, man, YouTube's great. I mean, the people that are listening to this, especially the younger people, are going to be like, what do you mean, YouTube? Well, there was a time, maybe 15 years ago, where YouTube was just getting popular, and I'd ask you, hey, you know, what were you doing all night? And you'd say, watching YouTube, the wrestling shoots. I found have you ever heard of New Jack?
Of course.
All right. Well, New Jack is one of the greatest interviews of all time, and he was a maniac in ECW. He'd do all the things. He'd fly off a 25, 30-foot ladders. I mean, he would take huge,
he tried
huge
to kill
bumps.
A guy. He tried to kill a guy. Something had happened. They had some kind of a beef. They were on some kind of like a scaffold match, and he was going to push him off and kill him to his death, literally to his death, which
well,
I thought was very bizarre.
I know he stabbed a bunch of people, but there was this incident called Mass Transit, and this kid came in. He was 17 years old, and he told New Jack, hey, get me some color. Color meaning, you know, cut me. And, boy, New Jack cut him ear to ear. And he almost went to jail for that.
Yeah, and should. It's bizarre. It's a very bizarre thing, and those guys push the envelope. But that's like anything else. When you start pushing that envelope of craziness, where does it stop? And then you come out one Saturday, you do something bizarre, you got to come out the next Saturday and top that. Wait. So now you fast forward 2 years, and yeah, all of a sudden you got a guy blading a guy from ear to ear. Yeah, it's a really bizarre thing. I hated that product, and I'm not trying to turn on the guys that risk themselves and their lives and contribute to this, but I thought it was weird, and I thought that the fans were weird that would want to see that. Why am I going to pay a ticket to see some kind of self-mutilation? By the way, you have blood all over your face. I'm going to quit telling you now. I just don't want you to accuse. But every time I tell you your lip is bleeding down your face, you then wipe your lip.
What am I supposed to do with it? We're doing a show.
No, what I'm saying is you then wipe your lip, but you're not giving consideration to the fact that it has ran down your face. So now you have a string of blood from your chin down to your neck. I'm going to quit talking about it. I just don't want you to go in the mirror later and go, why didn't you tell me?
Right now. Am I supposed to go?
This is just me telling you.
I would like to go clean the blood off my face. We're in a studio doing a show, so I'm bleed face.
Why does that lip just start bleeding?
I don't know, man.
I think you do. I really think there's... But I do. I feel like there's something there. If my mouth just started bleeding to the point it was going all the way down my face and onto my neck and on my shirt right now, I feel like I would owe you an explanation. I wouldn't just go, oh, thanks, and then wipe it away. I feel like I'd have to say, oh, yeah, thanks, and then fill in the blanks there, which is, yeah, I got blah, blah, blah yesterday.
Let's make up a story.
No, there's some kind of a story where your lip is producing so much blood that out of the blue, it's running all the way down your face, and you don't want to tell me what it is.
All right, so there's this gal that lives right next to me, and I keep bringing her mail because she can't go get her mail. So I get her mail, and the way she repays me is she punches me in the face every morning. Anything?
You know, it's not bad.
You do it. You come up with one.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just know that I sense from your body language and from your words right now that something happened and you don't want to say. You know, I can't even see it, but it must be on the inside of your mouth. You have some kind of a cut. Thank you. Jacob just went and got you a towel.
There's no
nice.
Blood.
Yeah, you're missing it. You keep touching. Yeah, there you go. Now you got it. You keep touching your lip because I told you. No, it's all the way down your face. It's on your neck. We can move on. I'm high energy, and you want to know why, Joel? You really want to know why? Because I get a great night's sleep. I tell you all the time, if you want an obsessively engineered mattress, the perfect mattress, I'm talking latex with memory foam, the combination, because the big question's always been, what's better, latex or memory foam? Well, why not have both? Why not put them together? Only one company has done this, and that is Casper Mattress. And for so many years, Joel, it's been mortar and brick when you want to get a mattress. You got to go down to the store, but the fairness in that is it's business. Now you got to pay a salesman's commission. Now you got to pay the lease and the lights and all the things that go into a retail store. Instead of mortar and brick, you can go to point and click and save all that money. It gets passed right on to you. Casper passes that on to you. You couldn't pay $1,000 if you wanted to for a king size mattress at Casper. Go to CasperTrial.com/Chael. Enter 50 sleep when you check out and you will get $50 off any mattress. They will bring it to your house in a box, okay? You get it for 100 nights. That's over 3 months. You get to try it out for over 3 months. What else? Is there anything else in the world you could try for 3 months and then send it back? That's a little bit gross, quite frankly. Can you imagine if a guy slept on a mattress and then he sends it back? They got to throw it away. They'll still take it. They are that confident that people will love it. You don't want your mattress? Boom. Get your money back, and they come back to your house and take it away at their own expense. Go to CasperTrial.com/Chael. Enter 50 sleep when you check out, and you will get $50 off any mattress. They're going to give you 100 nights. You don't like it? Send it back. You're going to love it. I know you're going to love it. I have one. I sleep on a couch. I want to tell you guys it's a great bed. If it's not, because bed's important. If you want to have any energy, you got to get a good night's sleep. Joel, I do feel like when you lean into the mic, though, and you hold up a finger to me, which I take to mean just a second or, hey, I got something, that it is fair for me to then throw over to you. So please share.
Okay. So when we did that event at Bears,
okay,
the live show, I was having fun, and I said, well, this is amazing. Chael and Brian were plus 350 in a secret portal, and then Brian came back to you and was like, hey, were we really plus 350 in a secret portal?
Yeah. Well, it sounded, I mean, you said it. You're a guy on the radio saying it, or on a podcast saying it. Brian had the right to believe you. BetDSI.com is a sponsor, and it was a big event.
And a secret portal.
Do you know how hard that was? Do you know how hard, though? I know I was a short straw. I worked so hard in that. 1.8 pounds of meat I ate. What'd Brian do? 2.2, 2.4 even? That is a lot of meat. And what Bear do? Almost 4 pounds?
Yeah, well.
Just under four?
Well, and his wife tried to steal it from you guys.
I think she did.
Well, she did because she got it printed. Didn't she have it printed in the hometown paper?
Yes. That Bear had won because there was three of us and Bear ate the most, and that is true. But the contest was 2-on-1.
But you guys won Uptum somehow because ESPN.
ESPN then covered it.
ESPN trumps local Hartford paper then.
Yeah, so my boss was there. He was at the event, and he was into it.
Glenn?
Yeah, but
Glenn's a great guy.
I never say his name on the air. I don't say, no, it's okay that you did, but we won't say his last name for the reasons that every MMA person in the world is now going to bother him for something. So, but at any rate, the name you just said, my boss, is there, but he was so behind, one, because he's ultra competitive at everything. So he was in, but two, he's a health nut. And on his health nutness, he does not eat sugar. But so because Brian and I and Bear were eating just protein, he then could support it. So he was so into it that he stole some kind of footage, or I mean, you know, got some kind of footage and put it on SportsCenter. He would not have signed off. He probably wouldn't have even come if we were doing a milkshake contest. He probably would have tried to interfere.
You mean there was actual footage of the event on ESPN?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I did not know that.
And it may have even been a still shot with us, like, food in our face. I can't remember. But yet, and they popped it up without warning me. Boss had put it in, and they just brought it up. I think I was on there with Linda Combs. She just brought it up, and they threw to it. So I just had to speak naturally. But you're right. We did one up the paper and set that straight. Yeah, but, you know, my boss would not have been behind that if we were up there eating cake. Because it was protein, he deemed it, so then he allowed the contest and the participation.
Your
to go
boss
on.
Has an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Oh, I've wanted to tell it 100 times, but I tried it to ever because I don't want to put his name. I mean, the searches that are going to go on and people are going to be contacting him with different ideas and different pitches. But yeah, he is. I mean, such a success story. He got a job there at ESPN, and I don't know in what role, but he got in the door. He worked so hard and so many hours, Joel, that he began to sleep there. He put in so much time, he just didn't have time to go home. And somewhere that got found out. And whoever found that out respected it so much and goes, hey, we got a guy here that loves this company, loves his job, and works so hard for us that he's taking his rest time here and not even going home. We gotta find a bigger position for him. And that's how he began to work his way up. I mean, absolutely was a story of hard work.
What's that hotel you guys always stay at?
The Doubletree.
All right, the Doubletree.
It gives the cookies.
Those guys are the nicest people in the world. I would go on vacation there. Well, one of the guys took me to Best Buy or Target to get an iPhone charger. And I was like, wow, this is crazy to be out here at ESPN. You know, something that I've watched my whole life. And he said, yeah, growing up here, I remember when it was a van and a satellite. And he tortures his dad. He said, Dad, you had a van. So I told Brian that story, and then he told me the story of your boss, who was pretty much there just a little bit after it became a real structure other than the van and the satellite.
Yeah, you know, he does psycho workouts too. He's part of some workout group, and I call it CrossFit, but it's not. But it's those insane workouts. But he's got a group of friends that they get together and then just go do something ridiculously difficult just to do it. He did something called a mile burpee. It's just what you'd think it is. The only way you can gain ground, you do a burpee, you come to your feet, and that's your ground. So what's that, 3 feet? You drop your body down, you pull your feet, you stand up in a full squat in good position. He did that for 1 mile.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. And he did it just because this group, they think of the craziest, hardest things they can do, and then they go do it at like 5 in the morning on a Sunday.
Do you remember?
I mean, the most inopportune time and activity you could do is so hard. I mean, his level of discipline that he lives in his life, it would blow you away.
Do you remember when Randy was in Crazyville? When me and Ladd came back from Kankakee, we had a 12-hour layover in Denver. So we got a hotel, and Jennifer's sister, Laura...
Yeah, you keep calling that a layover, man. When it's 12 hours, you're just staying in Denver.
Exactly.
Right, you stayed in Denver.
Okay, so Laura and her new boyfriend, Alex, took us out to dinner, and he said, yeah, Randy Couture, didn't he do ultra...
Eco Challenge is what he was training for.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you remember what that was? That was some kind of insanity where it was like a 2,000-mile relay.
Yeah, that's right. So it was essentially like what you'd have to do for a triathlon in terms of the workload. However, it was a crazy amount of miles and everything, but it was a team. I think there was 5 people. There might have only been 4, and it was in Fiji. And he was the world champion, and he was training for this event. Now, obviously, those tie together. One can scratch the other one's back. But, yeah, he was getting ready to do that. And then something happened. Isn't that when he had his eye injury? He had that fight where he got his orbital hurt, and then he didn't go. He ended up not being able to actually go to Fiji and do it.
I think he actually signed a new contract and looked at it like, whoa, I can actually make money doing this UFC thing now.
What am I going to Fiji for? And, see, I think it was an injury. But, yeah, to your point, it was one of these just ridiculous exercise. I mean, the discipline, the respect, and again, just because. It's like the guy that climbs the mountain. Why'd you climb that mountain? Because it was there. Okay. All right.
Yep.
But on the Fiji thing, you brought that up with Randy. Did you have a thought to finish with that, or you were just saying?
We were just talking about crazy land, and once you go down the crazy rabbit hole, you can just keep pushing the envelope. Like, you could think a marathon is long enough. It's 26.2 miles. Well, now they have ultra marathons. They have marathons where they'll run 300 miles or something nuts, 3-4 days in a row.
How about your Ironman you set up? Do you have another one of those?
No, I don't. Let's do that since we're low. Let's poke the bear. Let's poke the bear. Why don't we actually talk about the real half Ironman that I did, a great story.
Can I give you one final thought on that, though?
Sure.
So that was an interesting day for me because you had an Ironman, and it was coming to Rosemont in West Lynn, and I just thought, oh, my goodness.
No, listen, don't tell a story tell a story because you want to put a spin on it that's not there.
But
if
Joel,
I told
you
once, I told you 100 times exactly what we're doing. So now in make-believe land, you want to spin this up and make fun of it. No, it was cool.
But Joel, you're missing the point. This is what I thought. So even if I was wrong, and I was, it's still what I thought. I thought when I heard Ironman, oh my goodness, Ironman is coming to Rosemont in West Lynn. Granted, I was wrong. This is what I thought. So when I got down there and it was just you guys, here was what's interesting. I'm going to poke you a little bit, but here is what was interesting. You made up an event. It's the one time in competitive life that you are allowed to cheat, and it's acceptable because you're making up the event. You made the rules. You created this. And you didn't win. You failed.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Why did you set the bar against yourself so high?
Well, okay, to kind of shoot and be real with you for a second. Dude,
aren't you real with me the whole time up here? What do you mean for a second?
The lad that we have today wasn't the lad that we always. It's been a progress. It has been a progress of things. First, he wanted to he got into zip lining, and we went on the longest, you know, four of the top 10 zip lines in the world. Then we started training for a triathlon, and he's one of the youngest kids that ever did an Olympic triathlon. He researched this stuff. So yeah, I had to run those events to a nut, and they don't let kids enter those events. So we did the Olympic triathlon in training for a half Ironman. So yeah, I went directly for what it would have been, and had we finished the exact mileage, I would have said, yeah, we finished a half Ironman. He was one of the youngest kids, and he took great pride in that. So yeah, I've done a lot of stuff that's outside of the box because I've been a dad once, and I've had a really, really special, great child that loves getting challenged. You know, it's you know, talking to Lad and having him explain things to me. Like, we went out to Kankakee and he nailed it on the opening to the show that nobody will ever see. And I was just like, man, it is so cool. It is so cool to see where you're at. And we talked about him coming up and him remembering me picking him up at school in the second grade, where I never had a conversation with him. I called you from the halfway house and told you the exact words that people remember when they ride the bike, when their kid rides their bike for the first time or does this or that. I said, I remember the first time I ever had a conversation with my son, and it was 5 minutes ago. Now, it wasn't meaning that he wasn't communicating with me. It was more than one part. It was more than one part. So all of the things that I've done with Lad, they have helped bring him to where he's at.
No matter
how outside of the box or stupid you think they are.
Don't do that to me. My point was, before you brought Lad into it, my point was, you made up an event. You could have made it within acceptable parameters, and you stacked the deck so far against yourself that I just couldn't figure out, why did he set it so hard? He is the governing body of said event. You were, for our listeners, you were at one point going to lose, I think it was 80 pounds. It was some big amount of weight. You were going to make weight on this official day that you were going to weigh in. The same day you were going to do a triathlon, perhaps an Ironman, and then you were going to compete in a cage fight that night. And it's like, Joel, Nick Diaz wouldn't do that, and Nick Diaz does triathlons and cage fights. Well, it's like, why are you stacking the deck so hard? You don't have to make everything. You don't have to do things that are, there's a limit.
Well, I'll speak on that. Lad was diagnosed as mid-range autistic 2.5 years old, and it scared me to death. So yeah, I was in crazy land. I was trying to escape something that was helpless to me, and whether it was doing that, which was ridiculous, everything that I was trying to do was absolutely ridiculous, but man, I was scared to death every single day. So if I had something to take me out of being as petrified as I was, and that's one of the reasons I like to talk about Lad so much, is because Lad is a hero. And if I would have had a parent out there that would come to me, called me and said, like, now, because I've got a little steam on this podcast, I get reached out. People reach out to me every single day. Hey, I love this. I'm going through this, that, and the other. And I like that I can help them. I didn't have that. I didn't have anybody reaching out to me saying, hey, he's going to be okay. I mean, I didn't know I was going to have the Lad that I got right now. And few people did.
How's he doing? Back to school. He's got to have the post spring break blues, I would think.
Well, I imagine
going back to school after summer break and after spring break and after Christmas break, it's hard.
Did I tell you they tried to get him in summer school?
No.
Well, they offered, so they had the parent student teacher meeting.
Not as a punishment, hey, want to go to school during the summertime?
Exactly. And he said, Poppy, I was scared. I was scared. And finally, I spoke up and I was like, is this mandatory? And they said no. And he was like, Yeah, no, I don't want to go to summer school. I don't want to go to summer school. And school's way too long. School itself is way too long. There's only a small portion of the kids that can go and study and stay on point for 5 or 6 hours a day. Most of the kids are like me, lad, that will give you 3-4 hours and then start looking at that clock. School's school's hard. The show about nothing. I do have something. What is going on with Susan Rice?
You know, I don't know. More has to come out on Susan Rice. I feel in some regards like she could be getting a bad rap. Here's the deal. So she's a really smart person that was involved in government, but not everybody involved in government needs to be going out and doing interviews. Not everybody is an eloquent speaker, and some of them they'll just step in a hole that they never needed to be in, but they never should have been on talk shows. And so many of these people in public service see this as an opportunity for them to get out there. So they like to tell people, they like to go out and do interviews under the guise of, well, I need to talk to the American people. So, no, first off, you don't. You weren't elected. You didn't even run. You were appointed, and we don't need to hear from you. We can hear from your boss. Your boss can tell us what his subordinate did. We don't have to hear from you. And a lot of times, they're landmined. She goes on to shows, and she's taking this bad rap now like she's some kind of a liar. She may be, but I'm more of the school of the benefit of doubt. It's like, hold on just a second. She's not under oath. Secondly, we don't know what information she was given when she went on those talk shows and made those statements. And she may be the first person to come forward and go, the statements I gave you on those shows were inaccurate. I had inaccurate information at the time. That's what I believe, but I don't believe that now. That's a fair answer for me. And to go out and take sound bites of things that she said and then discredit her completely and say she's a liar and you can never believe her again, I don't think is fair because we don't know all of that. Now, I think the bigger point is, what in the hell are all of these people that are in some kind of public position going on shows for anyway? Why aren't they out working and doing their job? That's something that I've always found confusing. Why was she on the show? Kellyanne Conway is doing this with Donald Trump. Now, again, seems like a very intelligent person. But not everybody, it doesn't necessarily convert. You're not necessarily then made to go on shows and make representations and statements. And maybe you know one area. But when you go on those shows, they're not confined. Much like when we have guests, Joel, we don't tell them ahead of time what the questions are. We've had people say, hey, can I come on the show and I want to talk about this? It's like, listen, if you come on the show, you can talk about that, but then if we go in different directions, that all has to be fair game. We're not going to edit it out. And if you're not open for anything, then the answer is no. You can offer us nothing. A lot of these people that see themselves as public servants, which are not, they are absolutely self-serving. It is so off-putting to hear from anybody, absolutely anybody, a senator, a congressman, a governor, anybody, that they're serving the public. No, you're not. You did this for yourself. You are getting a paycheck every Friday at 5, and if you weren't, you wouldn't be doing this job. You're not doing it for us, for one. Let's just start there and be real honest. And secondly, why are you guys giving interviews? Why is Susan Rice doing these media tours and stepping on these landmines? One, if she doesn't have accurate information, it's a problem for her. She's going to have to answer for that. I'm not of the school of thought that she lied. I'm of the school of thought that she didn't have, that she told the truth with the information that she had at the time and that she was misinformed, that maybe she needs to go talk to her staff. Let's hear her out on that, but that's my opinion. To my larger point, not all of them need to be going on and doing media. I can think of an executive director of an athletic commission who has been removed who could not miss a media opportunity. He not only would do media, he would submit photos of himself at his desk to the media so that they could attach a picture with it. And when people asked him, why do you do so much media? He openly said publicly, well, I think that it's my job to come out and talk to the people. And why would it be your job to come and talk to the people? You're filling out paperwork behind the scenes. You don't have anything to do with the show whatsoever. And the people that you are licensing should be able to have a direct avenue to you, but you do not need to go out and talk to the media. And to act like you're doing that because that's what's good for the sport and good for the public, it's just self-serving. Why am I talking to the media? Because it's a thrill. I get a kick out of it. My wife and kids listen to it, and it's a little bit fun, and you called me. That would be a truthful answer. That would be an honest answer. That's what Shane McMahon said about why he participated in WrestleMania, and how much did we love that, because it was just a guy being real. And some of these politicians, all of them, come out and they act. First off, you're not serving the public. You're there and you're supposed to serve the public. But the bottom line is you are paid, and you are paid handsomely in every possible way. Not only is your salary very nice, your retirement's nice, and your medical benefits are better. You are self-serving, for one. And for two, we don't need to hear from a lot of you. There's a gentleman, Joel, who you and I both like, Jordan, out of Wisconsin, congressman, NCAA champion, beat John Smith. He really let me down. He really let me down. He was a guy they were grooming to run for the presidency on the Republican side. And he did a couple of things that just didn't do him a service. And I'm not off the bandwagon yet, but it let me down. First off was the Benghazi hearing against Hillary Clinton. There are six guys sitting up there, six congresspeople, one Hillary Clinton. They had built this into something tremendous where she was this evil, awful villain with something to hide, and finally called her before Congress, and she finally said, great, I'll come in and answer your question. So it's one Hillary versus six of them. This doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. When it's one against six, it's not fair odds. No matter how smart you are, you're coming in second when it's one against six. She went in there and kicked all their asses because they had nothing. And he sat on that panel and he questioned her. And he tried to question her in a certain tone and with a certain condensation, and there was nothing behind it. It was like when Colin Powell had to go out and tell us all there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was humiliating for him, and he stepped down. He did not want to do it. He was embarrassed. He had nothing, and that's how they should have felt. And Jordan was part of that. He then comes out after the healthcare movement flops, and he says, let's get to work. Well, the problem with him saying that is for the last 72 hours, he'd been at a sporting event that was captured on TV. I support him being there. His son became an All-American and was wrestling at the NCAA tournament. His senior, I fully support him being there. But the fact is, I know you were there for 72 hours, and then you're coming out telling the American people in a three-piece suit on Fox News the next day, let's get to work. Well, Jordan, let's start with you. Let's get your ass to work, because I know where you've been the last 3 days. I was there too, but I had the right to be there. And I didn't come out self-servingly and tell the people I'm out working for them while I'm collecting a paycheck, sitting on my ass, watching my boy wrestle. And that's the reality of what happened. And it was disappointing, and it was a bad look. And if people would just shoot a little bit straighter, do a little less interviews, and tell the truth when they do them, you wouldn't see them in this spot. And if you have a trouble with the truth, because one, you can't tell it, or two, you have bad information, you can avoid that whole thing by simply not doing the interview. And when you have somebody, you asked me about Susan Rice, when you asked me about her specifically, she is not an elected official. She's not. You see this with the vice president. People will say this all the time. Well, he was elected vice president. No, he wasn't. You can't even run for the vice presidency. That is an appointment. You never one time can even run for that job if you want it. So it is good that, and the vice president is a little excluded. He does need to go out and talk to the media, and that's part of his job. But the reality is people do get that wrong. And you'll see that all the way up to the first lady. The first lady always has a tremendous amount of power. She usually will do one thing, but then whatever her agenda is, it gets passed. And you do sit back as everybody else and you kind of scratch your head and go, well, wait just a second. Though you lay in bed with the president every night, we didn't elect you. In fairness, we didn't elect you. You didn't run. And whatever your mandate and whatever it is that you want to be remembered throughout history is the one thing that you got done in your tenure, we didn't ask you to do it. We straight up did not ask you to do it. And they never get turned down. And people are now going the other way with Melania Trump saying, why isn't she more involved? Why isn't she out there more? It's like, guys, are you got to be kidding me? She didn't run. She's not in office. She's not the person and the mind and the ideology that was ever on a ballot where people could vote up or down. So the fact that she's laying low and being a mother and doing what she wants to do in her life should be something that's commended because she didn't run. We don't know what she stands on. She didn't have to go through debates and put it out to the American people and let people say, up or down, one way or the other, do we want that? That's my thought on that. So that was a long thought to your answer, but as far as Susan Rice goes, I think that she is better off to be given a benefit of the doubt, made some statements that were captured on camera that turned out not to be true. But for me, it doesn't discredit her credibility. It just doesn't. Even though it wasn't true, until we hear from her, well, why did you say that? And if she comes clean and goes, because I had it wrong. This is what I was told. This is what I was briefed on. And I answered the questions to my understanding. And now I understand something different. That's a fair answer for me. But it would bring me back to my original point that she never should have been there in the first place. She never should have been on that talk show
handling those questions in the first place. And as much as she wants to say the American people are entitled to an answer, well, they're not entitled from you because you're not the boss. You're a subordinate. If we want these questions answered, we should be able to go straight to the boss. And you should be in Washington behind a desk doing the job that you were appointed and paid to do. Not with hair and makeup and in a fancy suit sitting behind a desk on Sunday morning answering these questions. Nobody asked you to do that. You offered to do that because you wanted to see yourself on camera. And that's the cold, hard reality that we see in this country with these alleged government officials. And when Jordan comes out of a vacation in his street clothes, 72 hours at the NCAA wrestling tournament, and then tells America on a different talk show in a three-piece suit, let's get to work. Yeah, Congressman, why don't you? Why don't you go do that? That would be nice.
Great analogy, bro.
It's a great
You're
analogy.
All over that.
I've got no other thoughts, Joel. I'm kind of good. I am glad you asked me about Susan Rice, only because I did want to defend her just in that one regard. I've been on TV. I go on Twitter, where you're limited to 140 characters, or when you're on TV and you're finishing an answer or a thought, but you used the wrong words, and then all of a sudden the host cuts you off and they got to go commercial break. And during commercial break, you're like, hey, we got to come back to this because I didn't really get my thought out. She may not have done that. She could just be a dishonest person. When you take somebody of her intelligence, and that's one thing you can't question, that's a very smart woman, and you take her level of accomplishment, and that's another thing you can't question. She's very accomplished. That generally does not then equal liar. I do not believe she... I just don't believe that. I just don't believe she would go on a show and be dishonest as much as I would. But you got to remember, I sit on the other side of the aisle. I'm just being fair, though. That's an intelligent, accomplished woman who went on television, knew this would be captured, knew her credibility would be in question, and I thought she candidly answered questions. And there's a tremendous difference, Joel. I guess I'll make this my final thought, because I could turn this in, I could extend this one thought into 20 minutes. I'll try to make it 20 seconds. There's a tremendous difference in lying and being wrong. Sometimes you're just wrong. Sometimes somebody asks you a question, you answer it, but you're wrong. And then you get... You get other information that comes in and you change your own mind, but now you don't get to go back and redo that clip that's already on that talk show and is out to everybody. And I feel like it's a little bit misinforming and it's damaging to her, and I'm not sure it's fair. I'm open to hearing her out. That's my final thought. Anything from you? No? Good. Until next time, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish from the Retronauts Podcast, a show about classic video games. We're exploring gaming's history every week. We talk about classic video games and how the medium's past feeds into the industry and culture of today. Want to know more about the people who made Destiny? What's the story behind Mario? And yes, we even explain why they call it Final Fantasy when there's 15 of the things. From arcade classics to the latest retro releases, Retronauts covers it all. Subscribe to us on iTunes or right here on the Podcast One Network. Listening to Retronauts won't help you build your gamer score, but you'll rock at bar trivia.